Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirim on Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak at Shalom. We are now in Masachet Baba Batra Daf Nun Bet Amud Bet, taking a look at the end of Mishnah Dalad, which distinguished between Chazaka as a Raya, as a proof, in which it's accompanied with a claim that I bought it, etc., in which you're being challenged, as opposed to Chazaka as a Kenyan. So the problem with this language is that it assigns a three-year chazaka, or whatever the term is, to somebody called a machzik. So all these other people, like somebody who gets a gift, or somebody who divides the father's estate, don't have chazaka. So the answer is chasor machzor v'achitani. There's something deficient about our Mishnah, is how it should read. B'chazaka shieshi ma ta'ana. A chazaka, which is accompanied by a claim, the guy sitting on the property says, I bought it from you, and the other guy says, I never sold it to you. So there's a contest here, and then the chazaka comes to determine, because we have no better proof, what really happened. Meaning, here a chazaka that is not accompanied by a claim, because there is no challenge to it. If somebody wants to give a gift, or achin shechalku, or brothers want to divide their estate, or machzik b'nichsei ager, somebody seizes the property of a ger that died without any heirs, they're just making a kinyan, then na'al gadar paratz kolshu hareza chazaka. If he put up a door, put up a fence, tear down a fence, in any amount, we'll see what that is very soon, that's a chazaka. Okay, Tani Rav Hoshaya beKiddushin Devei Levi. Now what this means is that in Levi's Beit Midrash, in his version, or his Tosefta of Masechet Kiddushin, Rav Hoshaya added in the following line, Na'al Gadar Paratz Kolshu B'Fanav Harizu Chazakah. So he added in the key word, which is, if you put up a door, put up a fence, put down a fence, any amount, we'll see again what that means, in the presence of the gifter, meaning the person who's giving it to you or allowing you to take possession, harezu chazaka. Our inference is, b'fanav in shalom b'fanav lo. So we have just been operating, and our Mishnah says that na'al gadal paratz kol shehu, in any case, is a chazaka, whether the guy's there or not. And here, Rav Shaya said he has to be there. Amarav ha'chikamer, this is what he meant. B'fanav lo tzvich lemer melech le'lech chazeku kni. If the guy's there, he doesn't have to also declare, go take possession. But if he's not there, he has to have told the guy, go to my field, and then the fellow puts up a door or something, that's enough. But if he puts up the door in the fellow's presence without saying a word, without the fellow making any declaration, go take possession, it's still valid because he's there. Alright, Boy Rav. Rav asked the following question. Matana, hey ach. What's the din of matana? Do we say in the case of matana, you have to say lechazeku kni or not? Amar Shmuel, mighty boy, leva Abba. So Shmuel says, what is Abba? That's Rav's name. What is Abba asking about? Hashtumai mecher, dekel yahiv lezuzeh. Think about this. In the case of a sale where you're giving the seller money, if he has to make the declaration, so matana, where he's getting nothing, lo kol shekein, certainly has to make the declaration, demonstrating his acquiescence to the sale. So why does Rav disagree? Is Rav savar mandi yahiv matana v'ayin yafem yahiv? Somebody who gives a gift very generously. And therefore, he has the question that a gift, in a sense, should be even more likely that you don't have to make the declaration, because when you tell somebody, that's my field, go take possession of it, I'm giving you a gift, maybe you don't have to utter the formula, lechazeku kni, even though you're not present. All right, v'chama. I promised this a couple minutes ago. We said, putting up a fence, kol shehu, or a door, kol shehu, how much is that? So kol shehu, kiddush Shmuel. What's the kol shehu? Like Shmuel says, damar Shmuel, gadar, vishlimol la'asarai. If you add to a fence, so that it got up to 10 tzvachim high. Or there was an opening and you opened it more so that you can go in and out. Harezu chazaka, that's valid. Now, hi gadar hechidami. What does this fence look like beforehand that you added to it? If originally people could not pass it, and they, now that you added, they certainly can't get past it. So, Mayavid, you didn't accomplish anything. You took a protective fence and made it a protective fence. So you're going to tell me that originally people were able to just walk past it because it was so low, or walk over it, and now they can't? So tuva, but then it's not a koshu, then it's a real significant thing. You made this area now impenetrable. So lo tzricha de mikar havusalki labaravcha. The answer is that originally people could get there very easily. Now they have to really try hard to get past it. Or do you raise the fence to the point that it really creates a lot of effort for them? So it's a kol shehu, and that you took a passable area and made it a passable area. But the fact that you made it perceptibly more difficult to pass by makes the difference. Now, this is just a janus of what we just saw. Let's say pirtza. If originally people could get through the fence through this opening, and now again they can get through the fence because you made it a bigger opening, so my avid, you didn't do anything. It was a passable area. It's a passable area. Originally, if maybe it's a case where originally nobody could get past, and now they can get past, so then it's not a kol shu. Tuvavad, you did something very big. You made an area that was impenetrable, penetrable. So lotzricha, and again, it's a flip. Mikar havu aili babaduchka. Originally, it was very hard to get through. V'hashta aili babaravcha. Now it's easier to get through. So there's a perceptible difference in the ease with which someone can get through the fence, but it was a passable area. Now it's a passable area. That's why it's a kol shu. Now I'm Rav Asi, I'm Rav Yochanan. We're gonna have two halachot. The Rav Asi quotes of Rav Yochanan that are related. First of all, natan sror v'ho'il. Let's say the guy put a rock into the fence. And that helped. Now, tal tzor b'ho'il, he took a rock out of the fence, even a small pebble out of the fence, and it made a difference. Harez a chazaka, that's also a chazaka. So you don't have to raise the fence or tear a hole in it. As long as you even put in or take out a stone that makes a difference, that's a chazaka. So now let's see what's going on. My natan, my natal, what's happening? If it means that there was a hole in the fence and now you put the rock in and it sealed it off so water couldn't come in, or natal sorvafik mayamina, or the area was filled up and now you took the rock out and now the water was able to come out of the area, so that's something that you would do for a neighbor just to help him out. Let's say you had a neighbor and his area was about to get flooded and there was one hole in the wall, you'd put a rock in there. And if you saw that his area was flooded and he was trying to get rid of the water and it was blocked by a wall and there was one rock to take out that would allow it to get out, you'd do that too. That doesn't demonstrate ownership. That you could still be the guy's neighbor. So El Anatan Sword at Samad Lamaya, what it means is you put in a rock that made the water stay in. Now there's two ways to read this, and I noted on the page. The Rambam says somehow by putting the rock in that directed the water in. The Rashbam says by putting the rock in it kept the water in your field. That's something only an owner would do. In other words, it wasn't saving from danger, it was just making it better. Natal Sword, what does taking a rock away mean? Va'arach Lamaya, you took a rock out and allowed water to come in more easily and to go out more easily from the field. So that's a demonstration of ownership. Now the second halacha of Rav Yochanan, Amar Rav Asi Rav Yochanan, Shtei Sadot Umetzer Echad Bineihem. Let's say you have two fields and there's a boundary between them. And the two fields perhaps are owned by one person. And you want to take chazaka, but there's a boundary between them. If you took possessions of one of them in order to make a kinyan on it, that's obvious. Field A, field B, and boundary X in the middle. So if you took possession of field A in order to get field A is yours. If you took possession of field A, you put up a fence on field A in order to take possession of A and B, you only get A because you didn't touch B. They're separate fields. If you took possession of A in order to get B, you didn't get A or B, because B you didn't do a chazak on, and A you didn't intend to get. Alright, so now, Bar Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Zera asks one twist, and then Rabbi Elazar is going to ask another twist. Rabbi Zera's twist is, let's say you took possession of A in order to get A, B, and X. Mahud, maybe does that work? Do we say that X is really part of the land, and therefore it's all contiguous and it's one piece? Perhaps A and B really are separated, and whatever you do on A only works for A. The answer is teku. We don't have a solution. So by Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar then asked a companion question. Let's say you took possession of X, of the boundary, in order to get A and B. Mahu, do we say that the border is sort of like the reins of an animal? Vikani, and you hand over the reins, you get the animal. Or do we say that A and B are separate and X is just sitting in the middle? It's not, doesn't carry A and B with it. The answer again is teku. So now we have a parallel statement to that of Rabbi Yochanan dealing with houses. If you have two houses, one inside of the other, it doesn't mean one's inside of the other one. It means that one is closer to the core of the property. So here's the principle, is that the inner house is the one that's in control, and the outer house is peripheral. So therefore, if you took possession of the outside house to be kona of the outside house, oh, that works, obviously. If you took possession of the outside house in order to get both of them, you only get the outside house. But if you took possession of the outside house in order to get the inside house, you get nothing, just like we had before with A and B. Now flip it, and you'll see it's not the same here. If you took possession of the inside house to get the inside house, oh, that works. If you took possession of the inside house to take possession of it and the outside one, and it works for both, because the outside house is subservient to the inside house. If you took possession of the inside house just to get the outside house, you don't get the inside house or the outside house, because again, the one that you were claiming you didn't touch, and the one that you touched was not the one you were claiming. Okay, we'll pause at this point, and we're going to pick it up with further discussions in related issues of being kona one piece and attaching that to another, etc., as we continue on from Nun Gimel and Bet. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.